is a Bible class too. If you need to say something, say it. This is something ugly about me, I'm going to say. And if you know where Mayfield, Kentucky is, we're from about 17 miles south of Mayfield. You know where Murray is, we're about 24 miles west of Murray. If anybody still uses north and west and east and south, instead of right and left. For Bible test, now, what time do I need to stop or think about stopping? What time do we stop Bible class?
Quarter. When that guy gets up, stands up, count, you'd be winding it down.
About a quarter
you
after.
Early going bathroom. I can't
tell. Then you wind it down.
Oh, right.
The bell will ring at 9:45, and that's when the trap door opens.
All right. So be over there. All right, 9:45. 9:45, good, yeah. What time do I get done?
10:15.
Thank you. Going to talk to you a little bit this morning about, let's give you time. Bob, I'm used to wearing a coat and tie, by the way. You see me fishing around up here a little bit. And on Wednesday nights, they used to get me on in overalls with a farming area, and I don't even know if anybody does wear that. Anyway, let me see what we got here. Hey, all right. Going to talk a little bit about evangelism. When we think about evangelism, maybe we think about evangelists. Personally, I like to refer to myself as an evangelist. Definitely not as I am a minister. How many of you in here are Christians? Raise your hand. Young ladies up front here, did you know you're ministers? Yeah, you're a minister. Did you realize that? Yeah, isn't that cool? Minister simply means a servant. That's all the word means, a servant. Preachers for the church are never designated as ministers. Evangelism. We're ministers only in fact that we serve, and you do the same. That's why Phoebe was called a deaconess. It's the same word for servant, not any certain title. We'll talk to you about evangelism. In our land, in the Lord's church, we've got a little problem. The series is called Things That Are Hard to Understand About. You'll see into the actual sermon, from 2 Peter chapter 3, you might remember, it's kind of interesting to me. The Apostle Peter, now here he is, an inspired apostle. The Apostle Peter said that Paul said some things that were hard to understand. That'll make you feel better about yourself, right? If Peter said, Paul said there were some things that were hard to understand, don't feel bad when you don't understand something. Just study it out. But that's what it's about, and that's what the whole series is on. We're going to talk about this week some things that are hard to understand. In other words, things that we may have a little bit of a problem with. First of all, it's hard to understand that evangelism, teaching people the gospel, is a command, not a suggestion. If I were to ask for a show of hands, you don't have to raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. But if I were to ask for a show of hands, I wonder how many hands would go up if I said, how many of you actually talked to somebody about Jesus this week? How many of you actually spoke to somebody you never talked to about Jesus? How many of you did that this week? How many of you plan to do that every week? Every day? How many of you went to the grocery store this week? Now you raise your hand. How many of you got into some sort of conversation with somebody to meet, kind of do something? We talk to people, we talk to the cashier, we talk to somebody. I want to encourage you something. This is a command. We're big on, somebody tell me what Mark 16, 15, and 16 says. Go ahead, get in here. Go ahead. Go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel to every creature, all creation. Or as Ernest T. Baxter said, creature. Preach the gospel to every creature or person. And what's the next verse say? He? Man, we know that dude like the back of our hand, don't we? We know those two verses, probably everybody here can quote those just about as we just started. And yet, do we do it? That's the question. We're big on saying, well, you know, Jesus said, go into all the world, preach gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. We just roll that all out, just like we were the ones that said it originally, right? But the bottom line is, reason churches are losing members and losing in size because we're not doing that. Not hurt your feelings, right? Some things that are hard for us to understand. We'll talk about some hard things this week. I hope you don't mind. I hope you come back. Don't come back. I'm going to come and eat anybody and everything. So much when we go out and you do whatever. But I'd like to come back. Need to understand, it's a hard thing for us to understand that evangelism is not limited to people you don't mind to offend. You know, the Bible says all have sinned. Just real quick, like, for false teachers, in Acts chapter 18, verse 8, you had Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, who was converted. Verse 24 through 28, you had Apollos. Apollos was teaching the gospel in Ephesus, he thought, teaching error, right? What did Apollos teach wrong?
Baptism of John.
He taught that people were baptized in the baptism of John, right? Well, Aquila and Priscilla had to call him off to the side and straighten him out. So here you have somebody who's actually preaching, but he's preaching false doctrine. So here's a ruler of a synagogue, somebody up in a high religious place. You have Apollos, a preacher. You have pagans, wizards, witches that were converted. Simon the sorcerer. In Acts chapter 19, the people in Ephesus have said that they burned their magic books. Let me encourage you to do the same thing as Christians. You have a bunch of Harry Potter books around and stuff to burn them bad boys. It's magic. You realize that the occult is condemned some 80 times in the Bible? Some 80 times. Wizardry, witchcraft, necromancy, which is speaking to the dead. Soothsaying, which is like reading a crystal ball, horoscope. People look at the horoscope. Christians look at the horoscope. These are things that are condemned. Some things that are hard to understand, right? There's a lot of things that are hard to understand in the Bible. In West Virginia, when I preached in West Virginia, we had the privilege of my son, first person ever baptized with a witch. How many of you believe in witches? You don't believe in witches? You believe in witches? Do you? You do? I do too. Witches are 100% real. Wiccan has over 1 million followers. You realize that? Witches? Wizards? When I was in Berea, Kentucky, we had a young lady left the church and became a witch. It's out there, folks. It's real world. We're not in this little safe zone here in the meeting house. There's other stuff going on out there. There are witches that need converting. There are vampires that need converting. I say, this dude's a nuts. I'm just telling you, you need to wait. Hey, real world, folks. Real world. Real world. Young people even past Snapchat and TikTok. Even more than that. Real world. The real world. And let me say this. There are people that practice the occult. Ouija boards. Ouija boards are occult. You know that? A lot of people do this. They need converted. Politicians need converted. Sergius Paulus. Very important man. Very important man. Got converted as far as we can tell. Soldiers. Friends and family. Cornelius. What was special about Cornelius? Who did Cornelius call to be with him when he knew that he was going to get a visit from Peter?
His family.
Huh?
His family and his whole house.
Excellent. Excellent. Family, and it says, and near kinsmen and friends. Okay? Friends. Family. Let me ask you something. Who are some of the hardest people on earth to talk to if they're not saved about Christianity? How many of you have family members who are not saved? Raise your hand. How many of you find it difficult sometimes to talk to those family members because it always turns into an argument? See what I'm saying? See what I'm saying? So what do we do? Well, do what anybody smart would do, avoid people. That's usually what we do. We're afraid to ask some of these people out if they don't look good and smell good, if they're dirty, they don't have any money, they're panhandling, if it's somebody that's an unwed mother with two children living in a ghetto area. We don't want her, right? We don't want people like that. Somebody that we think may be going to ask us for some money and stuff. We don't want people like that. There's some things that are hard to understand about evangelism. You know that? I'm going to tell you, how many of you ever knocked doors? Raise your hand. Not enough, but a lot. When we knock doors, you know where I'd rather go than any place? To the roughest looking area in town. You know why? Why do you think? Blow it out there. You can talk back. You're going to find out in pretty easy to get along with.
They're more ready to hear.
And they have nowhere to go but what? Up. They have nowhere to go but up. When I was knocking doors, I worked for Swan's Ice Cream for a lot of years. Went to Mack and Swan's and moved to Alabama. Made some good friends down there in the church. One of the things I always like to do, they said, where do you want to get dropped off? A lot of them boys would be dropped off in those big 2 and 3 story houses. I go to trailer courts and stuff. Why? Not knocking rich folks. Church needs rich folks. Let me tell you, we use all rich people we can get. There's some fine rich people. Job was a rich man, that was a good man. Abraham was a rich man, that was a good man. Right? David was a rich man, that's a problem. But and so when we look at this, we have to understand that 2 Corinthians 5:11, the Apostle Paul told the reason that he talked to people. He said, knowing therefore the what? Everybody remember? The terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Do you realize in this community, how many sound congregations of the church are in this community? Sound congregations of the church. Hold to the truth. Tooth and toenail. Stand firm. Two.
Or three.
About this side? So sitting at 125 people, how many people are in this area of Owensboro? About right at 50,000? 45? Correct? Sound right? Out of all those people, as far as there may be other churches of Christ, you need to understand something. Not every church of Christ is a sound congregation. Out of the 7 churches of Asia that John wrote to, how many were sound? 7 churches. How many were sound?
2
of them. That's it. It happens, okay? Why did Paul write the epistles? Anybody? Most of the time, what was he writing about?
Things that need corrected.
Things that need corrected in the congregation. Don't let that get you down, okay? You need to understand that what you do can make the difference in whether somebody goes to heaven or hell. How many of you have friends that are hellbound right now? Raise your hand. I mean, they're destined to go to hell if they leave this earth today. Yeah. You know what we need to start doing? Instead of doing this, we need to do this. Okay? The reason is because this is, I do. And that's me. I don't know. Right? 45,000 people approximately. 125 in South Congregation. You guys got a lot of work to do, haven't you? Now let me ask the question again. I will ask for a show of hands. How many of you this past week, how many of you back this past week told somebody about Jesus that you've never talked to about Jesus before? Raise your hand. Look around you. I just want you to look. Look around. Look around. You want to know why church is dying? Anybody got any other answers? Not because we're going to get up off our lazy hind ends and get out there and tell somebody about Jesus, about what we're going down to. We may want to. We may think about it and think, well, I don't know enough, right? I don't know enough. I'm not sure about it. I don't feel comfortable with it. You know what I like? The one I like is I'm shy. And then they say, well, since so shy until you get to know her, and then she'll just talk your head off. Everybody knows somebody like that, right? I want to encourage you to do something. And I'm going to do that probably 2 or 3 times for this meeting. Did you at least tell somebody and invite somebody you know is not a Christian, not just members of the church. You know who we invite to gospel meetings? Members of the church. How many? Did you send flyers to all the congregations in the area?
Yeah.
Did you hand out anything in the community for this meeting? Door knock for this meeting? Got it? Making sense? The things that are hard to understand about evangelism. Folks, I'm telling you right now, if you don't get out there and tell somebody about Jesus, this church is going to end up, my wife took a picture, I'll try and, if we can get it on there, I'll show it to you. From the Mount Pleasant Church of Christ. Right down the road from where we are. Used to be in the, up around 100 or something, if I remember right. They have a sign now on a monument because they tore the building down because the folks finally got so old and they just had to shut the doors. They couldn't continue the meeting anymore. Got a great big old, I call it an obelisk. If it were a Bible thing, we call it an obelisk. Bottom line, you know what it is? A great big what? Somebody say it starts with a T.
Tombstone.
Basically is what it is. Has a picture of the church building on it. Cool looking. Big old thing. That thing stood this tall, didn't it? Huge. Picture of the meeting house on it. Mount Pleasant Church of Christ, 1893, 40. You got the picture, ain't you? What's it say? I don't want to pass that around, y'all. You know. Sitting on her phone, got about 2% charge. We own a residence. She takes all the catering calls on that phone. By the way, once we look at that, we raise goats, we raise milk goats, live on a farm, have turkeys, have dogs. Yes, my dogs are in the house, Pyrenees, and half lab, half basset. Looks like a lab when he's lying down, looks like a basset when he stands up. Kind of like me, short legs and big belly. What's it say? 18. That's what grandson did for us. So granted, you go here, read this.
1879.
Huh? 1879 is what? 1998. Congregation was there over 100 years and wrapped it up. There's a big tombstone out there down in the graveyard behind it. It's a creepy picture. You got to see it. If I get a chance, I'll show it to you. I'll put it up on here if Mr. Ron or somebody can tell you. Get on it. What I'm trying to tell you is this. This congregation will die. If you don't get out and do something, this congregation will eventually die. Now you got a few young people in here. I want to encourage you young people. Tell your friends about Jesus. Don't be afraid. We're going to talk about this more this week. Okay? Don't be afraid. You're going to have to do this. For one thing, it's a command, right? You're going to be a Christian. Are we commanded? Do the Lord command us to take the Lord's Supper? Yes. We commanded to sing? Right? We got that, right? We understand that. Commanded to give? On the first day of the week, let everyone. We commanded to give? We're commanded to tell people about Jesus Christ. And you don't have to be comfortable with it. It's a lot more comfortable to be uncomfortable than it is to end up in hell. And I understand that you can become a powerful force for saving the lost and helping this congregation to grow. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I usually teach class to down to the floor, and I'm used to that. I'm used to dealing with chalkboard. Not chalkboard. We got rid of the chalkboard. You should have seen that. I get rid of the chalkboard and bring in a dry erase board. We've had that chalkboard since 19. That over there was one worse. She's nostalgic. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting at verse 6. We'll go to verse 5. Paul says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers? Yeah, it's not talking about preachers. They're ministers. They're servants of the Lord. Through whom you believe, as the Lord gave to each one. And I don't mind if somebody call me a minister, just don't call me the minister. And you go by a meeting house and it says, the minister, and then I'm thinking, man, you're in trouble going to get one minister. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one. Each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. We are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, As a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation. Another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds. That's you, each one. It says, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. We know that verse. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will be clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. You ever worked with anybody to bring them to Jesus? You brought the person to Jesus and they stayed faithful for a little while and then fell away? Anybody ever done that? I think we get scared of that sometimes. I think that's the reason we don't want to ask our best friend. Honestly. I think we don't want to ask our best friend, hey, let's have a Bible study. Because we know if that best friend becomes a Christian and then falls away, what's going to happen? What do we got to do then? Huh? Yeah. We're going to have to withdraw from them, right? There you sit, you've lost a best friend. They've lost their soul. How many of you have neighbors? I'm going to ask you to show hands again. Have next door neighbors that you have never talked to about Jesus Christ? Raise your hands. This is scary. Should have to turn around and be each other. Am I making sense here? I'm not the only one in this lesson, am I? Is this making good sense to y'all? You want to grow this church, this congregation, you're going to have to get out and do it. I'm going to say this on Brandon's behalf. Most of the time, might get a little glass of water, put it all right. We got all that. Most of the time, in a congregation, when it's not growing, congregation's dying on the vine. It's smaller and smaller. You've had the same preacher for about 3 years, 4 years. Maybe that's a long stay anymore, it seems. And the church is not growing, not getting bigger. Somebody in here be honest with me, please. What is somebody bound to suggest? What is it? Huh?
Get a new preacher.
We need to get us a new preacher. Maybe somebody younger. Well, we had a young one and we ain't growing. Let's get an old one. Let's get one who's on drawing already and is retired. And that way we don't have to pay them as much since we're getting smaller. And they have part of their own income. And then we can, you know, work with, you think, I've been preaching 35 years, people. It's been done, I've seen it. Ed Nellership come to me one time and said, what do you have to make it? Say you're in a job and you're applying for a job out here somewhere. What's the least you can make it on? What kind of question is that? When we get to thinking about how to grow a congregation, the last place we look is where? Right here. Folks, is this kind of a hard lesson? Huh? It's serious, isn't it? It's a serious, it's the Lord's business, folks. This is not play. It's not a game. Not a place you come to sit and sing and see old friends. Like I said, when it comes to gospel meetings, you know why gospel meetings? Oh, we may fill this place up come Monday night. Does it get pretty full during the gospel meetings?
Sometimes.
Not too much? A little bit? Pick up maybe 20 more, you think? Maybe. But that's who you send all the flyers out to? No non-Christians were approached with this? Is this making sense? I'm not picking on y'all. I'm not Mr. Cool. I'm not Joe Bad Preacher here. Been doing this a lot of years. And I'm telling you, if you want this place to boom, every one of y'all needs to get out here and start telling people about Jesus. Every last one of y'all needs to do this. First of all, that's up there because I thought it was a really cool photo. but the other part And when we look at this, I'm going to tell you something. This is the truth. How many of you have opened up and said something to somebody about Jesus and told somebody about Jesus and got shut down? Raise your hands. How many of you make you stop and think about the next time you're going to do that? Right? You get hammered two or three times to the wall with somebody. How many of you in here, we're going to get on this a little bit later, but I want you to think about this. I'm asking again. How many of you in here can give me the plan of salvation and scriptures? Raise your hand. Raise your hand seriously. You want to know why we're not converting people? We're scared. We're scared. We're afraid. You know what they used to call us? Can any of you older members? That's anybody over 40 now. Any of the older members in here remember what they used to call the Lord's Church? They used to call us walking Bibles. You had a Bible question, you'd find them at a factory, you work at a factory, you work at a school, you work at a hospital, you work at a cafeteria, and you have a Bible question, they would seek out a member of the church because we knew the book backwards and forwards. We're going to talk about that kind of stuff this week. I hope by the time I leave here this week, you see we've got 15 more minutes, right? Is that correct? By the time we leave here this week, what I hope is the situation is that, now I need the chalkboard, the dry erase board, that's all right. I hope it's the situation that you, within a year, turn this congregation into just a thriving, buzzing situation. Pews are full. I have to tell you something. I don't take any credit. We've had immense growth at Pilot Oak. Little country congregation, when we went back there, started attending, what was it, 15? Something like that, 15 people. You know what the average age of those 15 to 19 people was? Average age. Take a guess. Anybody, fire one out there. Even if it's wrong. What do you think it was?
70.
Huh?
70, 60.
70? That's a teenager. 82 years old. They live long in that area. Lots of corn, hogs, all that good stuff. Bacon, lots of bacon. Mixed blood. Bacon, beans, greens, and grits. There you go. But, anybody's going to have to feed me. Now you know what you're feeding. Something fried, something green. And otherwise, I'll eat anything you put in front of me. Can you tell it? Yeah. It's a big shirt. I have to get it because I got a fat neck. It's 19. The shirt is too big. But the congregation, the members of the church, are out telling people about Jesus Christ. I'm just telling you. We just had one of them set up a study with a young man. And he was sitting down there talking to the young man. Now, Lucas is kind of shy, really. He's fairly shy. But he was talking to his buddy. And they were sitting at breakfast talking. And the Baptist preacher over here happened to hear it. He knew the young man. Kind of wanted to jump in and save the day. And then another fellow jumped in. And Lucas got talking. He said, you know, we don't have a Bible here. We're just kind of talking around. He said, why don't we sit down and have a Bible study? Number one, I want to recommend something to you. If you get into a Bible study at work, how many of you have gotten into some sort of religious conversation at your workplace? Raise your hand. I want to encourage you to do something. Does it ever go well? If they're not members of the church, does it ever go well? Does it usually turn out good? Does it usually turn out being a back and forth and just a ram and slam and all of a sudden nothing's accomplished? Most times that's the way it goes. I want to encourage you to do this. I want to encourage you to say, Bob, Sally, Joe, Sue, whatever. I want to encourage you to say, let's do this. Look, it doesn't matter what our opinion is here, right? How many of you had a Bible on you when you were at work and did this? That's what I'm talking about. Okay? Number one, these are great. I carry one. I've used this a couple times. But I carried one of these. And I brought one for Brandon. In the back of it, it has all kinds of helps. It has charts. It has, here's one on miracles, here's one on the New Testament church. Here's one, a chart on the examples of conversions. Here's the one baptism. Here's all kinds of different studies. Go through all kinds of stuff. When you get over here, law of Moses to Jews only, baptized into Christ, new Christians grow, once saved, always saved, sinner's prayer. Are there many ways to heaven? Our authority. See all that? I want to encourage you to do so. I'm going to leave one of these with Brandon. I want to encourage you all to do something. Spend your money on this. Take your congregation money and buy some Bibles and hand one to each person in here. Make sense? Keep this with you. Ladies, will that fit easy into a purse? Fit into your pocket. That's where I keep it. There's nothing to change for it. I don't want somebody to take my wallet. Plus, I'm going to lose my wallet. Forgetful. Plus, but anyway, tell people about Jesus. How are you going to do it without a Bible? Okay? Now let's try this again. How many of you can tell me when somebody says, if you think the Church of Christ is the only church going to heaven, we're going to talk about this a little bit. Raise your hands if you can tell me why the Church of Christ is the only church going to heaven. Raise your hands. Look around you. I hope you do some good this week. You're going to find out, like I say, I'm just in this for y'all. This ain't about me, folks. This is about Lord Jesus. Amen? It's about Jesus Christ. It's about his blood. It's about the kingdom. It's about people lost. It's about people getting saved. I don't care how young, if you're young, these young ladies and those back there and all of you back here. If you're in your teens, if you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, if you're in your 90s, you can still bring somebody to Jesus Christ. We give up on people that are in there. I'm just going to tell you. How many of you heard this said when it's somebody that's 75, 80 years old? I think I'm going to talk to Miss Molly about the Lord. And you know what comes back? I've heard this from church leaders. All kinds of people. Yeah, I bet you're going to do anything with her. She's been doing that all her life. She's 82 years old. Right? How many of you have seen people covered with tattoos, long hair, biker jacket? I'm not talking about half our group. Earrings, chains. And immediately in our mind is what? No sense in talking to him. In fact, I don't want him. He may get mad at me. I ain't going to say he may be a she dressed like that. So, what are we going to do about this? I'm open before we have 10 minutes left. What are you going to do this next week, starting this next week? Somebody give me some ideas, then I'll give you some back. Somebody give me some ideas of what you're going to do starting this next week to bring more people to this congregation. What are you going to do? Start on this side. We'll go with the, well, let me see. What's it? The sheep and the, according to you, where are you standing? Sheep and goats and sheep. And on this side, what are y'all going to do starting this next week? Surely something's got to be rolling through your mind. What are you going to do?
My daughter said self-evaluation.
We're going to talk about that year for year. We're going to talk about that. You got to look at yourself. First of all, you got to weigh your consequences, right? You have to understand something. As we saw at first, this is not an option, people. It's a command. This is the command. God, Jesus didn't say just be saved and sit in the pew. Remember this one? This song, you never mentioned him to me. Never mentioned him to me. Saw me all the time. Never said a word. We have people in our lives like that. We're going to have to get over that. How many of you want this congregation to grow? Raise your hands. How many of you would be willing to give up your spot in your pew and move to another one if some visitor came and sat there? Raise your hand. Oh, no, it's was sitting, we had a visitor come in. Now, you'd have liked old Lou. Lou had long hair, had a beard down about here, white hair. Brought his dog one time because the dog was out of the car and it was hot. So Lou, I said, don't leave that dog in that car. Bring that dog in here. It's cool. He brought him in here and the dog wandered around. Everybody petted the dog during sermon and stuff. And kind of laid back, kind of dead. But anyway, Lou sat down. Oh, Brother Murphy. I had to laugh. We used to laugh about it. He's 91 now. And he came in, and Lou was sitting right here. And he came in, and actually he was like this. Gene says, hey, how you doing, buddy? You can sit up here with me if you want to. He said, edging him out. And ended up putting him over here. But he ended up down here because Gene and his wife sat here. We went to a congregation in Nashville, Tennessee. Well, keep the Nashville folks in your prayers, by the way. Don't forget. Lots of good brother and family. Bunch of them, I guess. 400-member congregation. Big old job. When I was flying out of Nashville every 2 weeks for business. And we went and visited and sat toward the back so I could get out. Right? Had to catch a plane. Head out to wherever they sent me that week. You know, we had a whole family, an older woman and two or three others with her. And there we sat at the back and she came, just stood behind us. Just stood there. And I said, how you doing, ma'am? How you doing that? She said, you're in our seat. And I laughed. I thought she was kidding. Yeah. She said, you're in our seat. Make sure you feel, make people feel comfortable. We're going to talk about these things. The 5 minutes we have left. Somebody else give me an idea on this side. What are you going to do this next week to help bring more people into this congregation? Anybody? Don't just sit there like bumps on a log, guys. Hey, if you're this quiet right now, you're going to be this quiet next week. Things ain't going to change. Right? What can you do this next week? This is simple. This is not a trick question. What can you do this next week to possibly influence somebody to bring you to Jesus? Anybody? No ideas at all? Sir?
I think I'm going to try to invite some people to come to church.
Amen.
They may say no, but I'll invite
them. Look, it's like it was when I was dating. You'd ask the pretty ones and the ugly ones, and it don't matter a whole lot, really. And what's the worst thing they can do? What's the worst thing they can say? No. I ain't going out with you. Well, no, how are you doing? You look mighty pretty today. And the whole thing is exactly what you said. I'm about done. I get ready to wrap it up. Step down time. All right. Folks, what that man right there said, we're going to go through a week of different things that are hard to understand. Hope you stick with me on this. Get to know us. We'll get to know you. I'll talk to y'all about how to do this. And our congregation is cranking. I'm going to tell you about Lucas. He ended up, we had a big discussion. He had a young man baptized just the other day. His name is Jess. Jess is on dialysis 3 times a week. 6'5", when Lucas baptized, never baptized anybody, loaned waiters to him. Lucas completely filled my waiters, basically. I said, I'm going to have to teach this boy how to baptize him when we baptize. All right. Thank you. See you in just a few minutes. I guess we're done. Is that right? I didn't hear a bell. Is there a bell?
He's going to ring.
He's going to ring. Ring it. Things don't look stupid standing up here. Okay. Any questions real quick? Seriously about this. You know what you need to do, right? You're going to have to do it. Got to do it. Now, we're sitting, if we can get, we have two or three shut-ins, so if we can get everybody there, it's between probably close to 65 to 70.
You start with how many?
About 19, 20, 25, something like that.